Just catching up with the opinion piece in the New York Times from Edward Snowden, dated June the 4th, 2015. The world says no to surveillance. Moscow, 2 years ago today, three journalists and I worked nervously in a Hong Kong hotel room, waiting to see how the world would react to the revelation that the National Security Agency had been making records of nearly every phone call in the United States. In the days that followed, those journalists and others published documents revealing that democratic governments had been monitoring the private activities of ordinary citizens who had done nothing wrong. Within days, the United States government responded by bringing charges against me under the World War I era espionage laws. The journalists were advised by lawyers that they risked arrest or subpoena if they returned to the United States. Politicians raced to condemn our efforts as un-American, even treasonous. Privately, there were moments when I worried that we might have to put our privileged lives at risk for nothing, that the public would react with indifference or practice cynicism to the revelations. Never have I been so grateful to have been so wrong. 2 years on, the difference is profound. In a single month, the NSA's invasive call tracking program was declared unlawful by the courts and disowned by Congress, after a White House-appointed oversight board investigation found that this program had not stopped a single terrorist attack. Even the president who once defended its propriety had criticized its disclosure and now ordered it terminated. This is the power of an informed public. Ending the mass surveillance of private phone calls under the Patriot Act is a historic victory for the rights of every citizen. But it is only the latest product of a change in global awareness. Since 2013, institutions across Europe have ruled similar laws and operations illegal and imposed new restrictions on future activities. The United Nations declares mass surveillance an unambiguous violation of human rights. In Latin America, the efforts of citizens in Brazil led to the Marco Civil, an internet bill of rights, recognizing the critical role of informed citizens in correcting the excesses of government. The Council of Europe called for new laws to protect whistleblowers. Beyond the frontiers of law, progress has come even more quickly. Technologists have worked tirelessly to re-engineer the security of the devices that surround us, along with the language of the internet itself. Secret flaws in critical infrastructure that had been exploited by governments to facilitate mass surveillance have been detected and corrected. Basic technical safeguards, such as encryption, once considered esoteric and unnecessary, are now enabled by default in the products of pioneering companies like Apple, ensuring that even if your phone is stolen, your private life remains private. Such structural technological changes can ensure access to basic privacies beyond borders, insulating ordinary citizens from the arbitrary passage of anti-piracy laws such as those now descending upon Russia. Though we've come a long way, the right to privacy, the foundation of freedoms enshrined in the United States Bill of Rights, remains under threat. Some of the world's most popular online services have been enlisted as partners in the NSA's mass surveillance programs. And technology companies are being pressured by governments around the world to work against their customers rather than for them. Billions of cell phone location records are still being intercepted without regard for the guilt or innocence of those affected. We've learned that our government intentionally weakens the fundamental security of the internet with backdoors that transform private lives into open books. Metadata revealing the personal associations and interests of ordinary internet users is still being intercepted and monitored on a scale unprecedented in history. As you read this online, the United States government makes a note. Spymasters in Australia, Canada, and France have exploited recent tragedies and seek intrusive new powers, despite evidence such programs will not have prevented attacks. Prime Minister David Cameron of Britain recently mused, "Do we want to allow a means of communication between people we cannot read?" He soon found his answer, proclaiming that for too long, we have been a passively tolerant society, saying to our citizens, as long as you obey the law, we will leave you alone. At the turning of a millennium, few imagined that citizens of developed democracies would soon be required to defend the concept of an open society against their own leaders. Yet the balance of power is beginning to shift. We are witnessing the emergence of a post-terror generation, one that rejects a worldview defined by a singular tragedy. For the first time since the attacks of September 11th, 2001, we see the outline of a politics that turns away from reaction and fear in favour of resilience and reason. With each court victory, with every change in the law, we demonstrate facts are more convincing than fear. As a society, we discover that the value of a right is not what it hides, but in what it protects. That was written by Edward J. Snowden, former intelligence, CIA intelligence officer, National Security Agency contractor. He's now a director of the Freedom of the Press Foundation. So I recommend you read that again, the New York Times, in the opinion pages from June the 4th, 2015. You probably read it better than I did. I got a bit of a cold and not really yet awake. And it just really resonates with me. It's great to see a little bit of optimism for the rest of the world, despite here under Cameron, nobody really knows what craziness is going to happen. And it really is craziness. They're talking about our connection with European human rights and how we don't need it, they're thinking. And we don't need, what don't you need? Human? What, the human bit? The rights bit? What bit is not good in that sentence? Rights for humans. It just beggars belief in my mind. I guess this is why for the last 8 years, this will be the eighth year we go to George Orwell's grave to have a conversation around all of this and more. And you're more than welcome to join us this year on the 25th of June. And 1984 Symposium is a hashtag, and you can find the details linked off that. What can we do? We can keep on keeping on and share and disseminate and be that dangerously informed public. Because at the moment, we're, I think, at a kind of tipping point. We'll see.